Stand in any grocery store for 10 minutes and watch what happens. Shoppers pause, squint, compare labels, check their phones, circle back, all for a box of crackers. What should take seconds stretches into minutes of quiet agony. This isn't indecisiveness, it's the modern condition. We're drowning in a sea of 285 cookie varieties, 175 salad dressings, and 30,000 total products per store, with 20,000 new items launched annually. The explosion extends everywhere. 6.5 million possible stereo combinations, 200 plus TV channels, college courses numbering in the hundreds where once there were dozens. Harvard students navigate 220 courses across 7 areas. Princeton offers 350. Even our identities, once fixed by birth, have become customizable projects. We can reshape our faces, reinvent our ethnicities, and curate our personalities like playlists. This abundance promises freedom, but delivers something else entirely: paralysis, anxiety, and a nagging sense that whatever we choose, something better exists just out of reach. Remember when the phone company was just the phone company? You plugged in, paid your bill, done. Now we navigate Byzantine service plans, compare electric providers, and decode health insurance options that read like legal thrillers. Pension plans that guaranteed fixed benefits have morphed into 401ks with 156 investment options. One accounting firm literally increased choices tenfold. Overwhelmed workers simply divide contributions equally among funds. Medical decisions have shifted from doctor knows best to patient autonomy. Sounds empowering until you're choosing between cancer treatments you barely understand. Research reveals most patients actually prefer not to choose their treatments, despite claiming otherwise when healthy. Even beauty has transformed from genetic lottery to personal responsibility, with over 1 million cosmetic surgeries annually and industry representatives comparing procedures to getting nails done. Ugliness is no longer misfortune, it's failure. We face what Fred Hirsch called the tyranny of small decisions, saying yes to choice in each isolated moment without recognizing we're constructing an unbearable burden. Good decisions require knowing what you want, gathering information, evaluating options, and learning from outcomes. Simple in theory, nightmarish in practice. Psychologist Daniel Kahneman identified three utilities that rarely align: what we expect to feel, what we actually feel, and what we remember feeling. Memory follows the peak-end rule. We judge experiences by their most intense moment and conclusion, ignoring duration. Patients prefer longer colonoscopies with gentler endings over shorter, abrupt ones. The availability heuristic makes vivid stories outweigh statistics. Your friend's Volvo nightmare trumps Consumer Reports analyzing thousands of cases. Context anchors our judgments. An $800 suit seems reasonable among $1,500 options, but extravagant among $500 ones. Framing matters profoundly. People overwhelmingly choose treatments that save 200 lives over ones with a one-third chance of saving 600, despite mathematical equivalence. As options multiply, we transform from thoughtful choosers into frantic pickers, grabbing at possibilities rushing past. Some people search exhaustively for the absolute best option. Others settle for good enough. These aren't just shopping styles. They're fundamentally different approaches to living. Maximizers channel surf during shows, constantly check other radio stations, and approach relationships like trying on clothes. They compare products endlessly, take longer deciding, feel more regret, and experience less satisfaction. Research confirms the toll. High maximizers report less life satisfaction, happiness, and optimism, with depression scores reaching borderline clinical levels. Do they at least make objectively better choices? Perhaps marginally, but they feel worse about them. A maximizer might buy a technically superior sweater after exhaustive searching, but remain haunted by unexamined alternatives. Satisficers aren't settling in defeat, they're choosing sanity. They have standards, but stop searching once those standards are met. Most of us satisfy in some domains while maximizing in others. You might grab any toothpaste, but agonize over restaurant orders. In our globally connected world, status concerns fuel this arms race for excellence that nobody truly wins. Freedom and autonomy are essential to well-being, yet Americans with unprecedented choice aren't happier than previous generations. Despite per capita income doubling over 40 years, happiness flatlined. Japanese wealth increased fivefold with no happiness gains. What actually predicts happiness? Close relationships, marriage, friendship, family, religious community. Ironically, these connections limit freedom by imposing responsibilities and commitments. Technology promised liberation but delivered new burdens. The proliferation of choices consumes hours that could nurture relationships. Economist Albert Hirschman distinguished exit, leaving unsatisfactory situations, from voice, expressing concerns and staying committed. Markets favor exit. We switch restaurants easily, but relationships demand voice. Though constraints restrict freedom, they ultimately enable pursuing what we value most. We ease choice burden through second-order decisions, following rules, using default settings, establishing routines. Research reveals that wanting and liking operate through different brain systems. Drug addicts want drugs that no longer provide pleasure. Similarly, 65% of healthy people say they'd want to choose cancer treatments, but 88% of actual cancer patients prefer not to choose. We think we want choice, but often don't like it when we get it. Every choice carries opportunity costs, the benefits of rejected alternatives. More options create more haunting costs as we imagine ideal alternatives combining the best features of everything, making our actual choice seem inadequate. Making trade-offs between competing values creates profound discomfort. When choosing between car safety and price, people refuse to sacrifice safety for savings even after establishing exactly how much each safety unit is worth. Faced with difficult trade-offs, people postpone or avoid decisions entirely. Offering two CD players instead of one reduces purchase likelihood because the added option creates conflict. Regret comes in two forms: post-decision regret, buyer's remorse, and anticipated regret, decision paralysis. Short-term, we regret disappointing actions. Long-term, we regret missed opportunities. How close we come to success intensifies regret. Olympic silver medalists are often less happy than bronze medalists because they focus on nearly winning gold rather than barely making the podium. Our capacity for counterfactual thinking, imagining how things could have been different, fuels endless regret. We cling to past investments to avoid acknowledging mistakes: unworn shoes, underperforming stocks, full-price theater tickets. Despite its pain, regret helps us take decisions seriously, highlights mistakes, and signals to others that we care about outcomes. Despite unprecedented abundance, we remain unsatisfied. The solution isn't eliminating choice. It's choosing where choice matters. Review recent decisions honestly. Did outcomes justify the time and anxiety invested? Learn to satisfice. Accepting good enough simplifies decisions and increases satisfaction. Satisficers may achieve less objectively than maximizers, but feel better about their choices. Stick with habitual choices unless truly dissatisfied. Resist new and improved marketing. Embrace irreversible decisions. When we can't change our minds, we engage psychological processes that enhance satisfaction. This applies powerfully to major commitments like marriage. Practice gratitude deliberately. We rarely consider how things could be worse. Lower expectations by reducing options and allowing serendipity. Reduce social comparison. Evaluating experiences against others typically reduces satisfaction. View limits as liberating rather than constraining. By following rules, standards, and norms, we avoid repeated deliberate decisions, freeing attention for choices where rules don't apply. Like fish thriving in protective fishbowls, constraints enable experimentation without survival worries. Choice within constraints, freedom within limits, this is where we find both autonomy and peace.